Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Cost Disease, Why Computers Get Cheaper and Healthcare Doesn't by William J. Bomol is a short economics book that explains a persistent modern puzzle why some goods and services become cheaper over time while others, especially healthcare and education, keep rising in cost. Drawing on Bomol's long-standing work in economics, the book argues that the answer lies in differences in productivity growth across sectors. In industries such as manufacturing and computing, technology and standardization allow output to be produced with fewer labor hours. In labor-intensive services, however, the need for human attention, customization, and direct interaction limits similar efficiency gains. The book is written for a broad audience, not just academic economists, and is aimed especially at readers concerned about public spending, medical prices, and tuition. Its purpose is to show that these cost increases are not simply signs of waste, but partly a structural feature of how modern economies work. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why productivity rises faster in some sectors than in others. Bomol's central idea is that not all parts of the economy can improve at the same pace. In manufacturing and computing, firms can automate tasks, standardize products, and spread fixed costs across large volumes, so each worker can produce more over time. That kind of productivity growth pushes prices down or keeps them relatively stable. By contrast, many service activities depend on direct human labor and cannot be easily mechanized without changing the service itself. A medical appointment, a classroom lesson, or a live performance still requires time and attention from trained people. The book uses this contrast to explain why broad economic progress does not produce uniform price declines. Instead, some sectors become dramatically more efficient, while others remain tied to the slower pace of labor input. This sectoral imbalance is the foundation of the cost disease argument and the lens through which Bomol interprets modern price trends. Secondly, healthcare and education as classic labor-intensive cost pressures. The book places healthcare and higher education at the center of the discussion because they illustrate the cost disease especially well. Both sectors require skilled human labor, individualized judgment, and ongoing personal interaction. A doctor cannot examine 10 patients at once in the way a machine can assemble 10 components at once. And a professor cannot teach a seminar exactly as a factory line scales production. As wages rise across the economy, institutions in these sectors must still compete for qualified workers even when their own productivity improvements are limited. That means their labor costs rise in step with the rest of the economy, while their output does not become proportionally cheaper. Bomol uses this to explain why medical bills and tuition appear to grow faster than incomes and general inflation. The key point is not that these sectors are uniquely inefficient in a moral sense, but that their production structure makes rapid cost containment unusually difficult. Thirdly, the role of wages, spillovers, and economy-wide cost escalation. A major insight in the book is that rising costs in labor-intensive sectors are connected to wage dynamics throughout the economy. When productivity increases in high-growth industries, those industries can pay higher wages. Other sectors must offer competitive pay to retain workers, even if their own output per worker has not improved much. This creates a spillover effect that gains from productive sectors lift labor costs everywhere else. For healthcare and education, this is especially important because labor is a large share of total expense. If a hospital or university must raise wages to keep doctors, nurses, technicians, or faculty, but cannot offset those increases with major productivity gains, prices rise. Bomol shows that inflation in these sectors is not a simple local problem, but part of a broader structural pattern in a modern mixed economy. The book therefore reframes cost escalation as a consequence of growth itself, not merely a failure of management or policy. Fourthly, why rising costs do not necessarily mean society is becoming poorer. One of Bomol's more counterintuitive claims is that the cost disease does not imply an unsustainable collapse. In his view, even though some essential services become more expensive relative to other goods, society may still be able to afford them because overall productivity and income continue to grow. In other words, the economy can support higher spending on healthcare or education if the rest of the economy becomes more productive. This argument matters because public debate often treats rising service costs as proof that the system is breaking down. Bomol instead suggests that the burden is real, but not necessarily catastrophic. The challenge becomes one of allocation and prioritization, deciding how much income a society wants to devote to services whose quality depends heavily on human labor. This makes the book less a proposal for a single fix than a corrective to alarmist assumptions. It asks readers to distinguish between affordability in absolute terms and relative cost growth within the economy. Lastly, policy relevance, limits of reform, and the book's broader debate. The book is especially relevant to policymakers because it suggests that many common reforms may have limited effect if they ignore the underlying economics of service production. Simply pressuring hospitals or universities to behave more like factories will not eliminate the need for skilled labor or personalized service. Baumol's framework implies that structural cost growth must be managed rather than imagined away. That said, the book is not a comprehensive blueprint for reform, and some critics argue that it emphasizes the explanatory power of the cost disease more than the complexity of real-world institutions, financing systems, and incentives. Even so, its strength lies in clarifying why certain cost trends are persistent across countries and over time. For readers in policy, economics, healthcare, or higher education, the book provides a compact model for thinking about long-run spending pressures. It stands out by turning a confusing set of price trends into a coherent economic pattern rather than a collection of unrelated crises. In conclusion, The Cost Disease is best suited for readers who want a concise but serious explanation of why healthcare and higher education keep becoming more expensive, even in economies that are otherwise becoming more productive. Policymakers, students of public finance, healthcare administrators, university leaders, and general readers interested in economic structure will all find value in its framework. The main benefit of the book is not that it offers a simple cure, but that it clarifies a problem that is often misunderstood as mere waste, greed, or administrative failure. Baumol shows that some cost increases are built into the way labor-intensive services are produced, which makes the book intellectually useful for anyone trying to think realistically about reform. What makes it stand out from many books on healthcare or tuition is its narrow but powerful focus on productivity differences across sectors. Instead of piling up anecdotes or policy prescriptions, it offers a single economic logic that connects manufacturing, computing, wages, and public services. That clarity is its distinctive contribution. If you would like to support William J. Baumol, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.